Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. Today we're talking about some Deadpool news, we got some Thor news, we got, because Doctor Strange is there, we got some Infinity War news, we've got Punisher teaser, and we've got so much Defenders to talk about. Stay right there, we'll be right back!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now... here's Popcorn Talks.
Thing is to sort of trail off a little bit more.
You're like, yes, space!
And like, but I think I may have miscommunicated with our engineer, Aunt Melanie. Hey, everybody! Welcome to Marvel Movie News. We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 144 coming to you live from, let's say, Hell's Kitchen. How about it?
Right. Hell's Kitchen. Yeah, that's perfect.
Very good.
Because Jessica Jones and Daredevil at Hell's Kitchen, so.
Yeah.
Well, Old Hell's Kitchen.
Old Hell's
Kitchen. Yeah.
On our show, we tell you all the news from all the studios, why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us at youtube.com/PopcornTalkNetwork. Also on their website, PopcornTalkNetwork.com. On Twitter, at Marvel News, PTN, or at The Popcorn Talk. Also, Facebook.com/Marvel News Show.
Technical difficulties. Sorry.
And guys, if you'll tweet a link out to our show with a message telling people about our live chat that they can jump into it, come watch our show live and talk about Defenders and all this other wonderful stuff, Aunt Manthony in the booth will retweet you. Say hello, Aunt Manthony.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another week of Marvel Movie News. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Huzzah!
Yes.
I'm Matt Key at The Matt Key. We are not joined by Coy Jandro.
No.
COYJANDREAU, but we do still have the wonderful and effervescent Markeia McCarty at MarkeiaMcCarty.
Yes, effervescent. I'm practically bubbling.
Yeah, you really are. You really are. And we've got Ollie.
Hey guys.
Ollie
Super
Dreamer.
Excited to be here.
Ollie Dreamer.
You better be talking to me in this chat, and we want to get the discussion going because Defenders just happened, guys.
Yeah.
Super excited.
Defenders.
Hope you enjoyed your post Defenders binge weekend.
Yeah, right?
Oh my gosh.
In place of the Jandro, we've got the Klein. We've got the Jesse Klein.
Yeah, I don't aim to replace him. I just want to be solid here.
I just want to
be a solid. I know I can't live up to it, so I'm just gonna be here. You'll get a couple chuckles out of me.
You know what? No one's Coy Jandro, but no one else is Jesse Klein. I need you to be the best Jesse Klein you can be.
There is another comedy writer named Jesse Klein.
Yeah, but he's not you.
She is very successful.
Oh. She's not you, is she?
No, she's not.
Okay, then you're you.
You're
you, and we like you.
You're the best you, and you're the best you for us.
That's true. Also, I bet she knows nothing about Marvel stuff.
Yeah, yeah, Jesse Klein, you hear that?
Yeah. I'm calling you out. Wait, don't
tell me. Dreamboat.
Star Drew in the chat says you look good.
Thank you. New haircut.
I want to thank everybody for the pre-birthday wishes on Twitter.
Yeah.
Thank you. Happy birthday. I have my birthday this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah.
So,
I bought you a little ice cream.
Ice cream smoothie. Ice cream cucumber mint LA drink.
Yeah. I bought her birthday LA shake.
Yeah. It's got coconut water in it.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Cucumbers.
Oh, it's delicious.
It's got everything.
I bet it's refreshing. Yeah.
It was a very expensive drink. I'm very wealthy. Well, welcome to our show, everybody. We've got Colt Badeau tweeting from the Star Jammer. Got Ollie over here. We got we're excited to get going. First of all, we do have some quick format changes to tell you about.
Mm-hmm.
Things are moving and shaking at the AfterBuzz Popcorn Talk Network studios, and therefore we're having to cut our time from the finish when we finish.
The wibbly wobbly timey
the wibbly wobbly.
Hour
maybe
and
it's
half.
An hour. Maybe it's 90 minutes. Maybe it's 2.5 days. time to 50 minutes.
Yes.
So there's going to be a lot of stories that we're not going to be able to talk about, and I don't... please don't be upset if we can't talk about it. Hit us up on Twitter, and we'll try to give our opinions and be better about
please
that.
Please do, but we will hit you with the meat and potatoes of what we feel is good for the week.
At least what we consider the meat and potatoes to be.
Exactly.
I assure you, we've seen every story and vetted it and made these decisions. So.
Made the meat
but
and potatoes.
Speaking of Colt Badeau.
Oh, no! More Colt Badeau!
We received a package from Colt Badeau.
Did we really?
He specifically,
is that what those are?
Yes. He sped it here so that it would get here for the Before My Birthday show.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, this is for you.
Okay.
Colt Badeau approved and drawn.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme.
Oh my God.
It kind of looks like
you. Colt Badeau, you are very talented.
That's pretty dope.
You can tweet and you can draw. Wow, you're very good. This is amazing. This is, I think, the second piece of art I have from him.
Nice.
Because I have another piece at home that's just waiting to be hung.
Yeah.
This is great. Thank you, Cole. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, and if Koi was here, this is his Spider-Man variant.
Whoa, that's
cool.
Amazing.
Yeah. That is super cool. And that butt looks like Koi's. So yeah. There you go.
He got that Koi butt going
like
up. He got that Koi booty.
Solid spider
and
butt.
And this is my birthday gift, Black Panther World.
Oh my God, that is amazing.
Yeah. Yes, look at that detail. That Black Panther don't play.
Holt.
Thank you for my birthday gift, Colt.
Standing ovation. That's
drooling
amazing.
Love
here.
This.
Yeah.
Complete with a mini Black Panther.
Oh, that's awesome. I wonder what's the Panther's. What's the...
Right here.
What's the panther? Well, Dougie? Is it Dougie? Can we name him Dougie? Dougie
I'm
the panther?
I'm just going to call him Mini Bass.
Nice.
Mini Bass.
Mini Bass.
Thank you, Colt.
Colt, thank you. That's amazing. Your talents far exceed my own.
At
basically everything. Now to the news! So very quickly, Deadpool news. We do have very sad news.
Yeah.
Yes,
The Deadpool set... suffered a really terrible loss of a stunt performer. Her name was Joy S.J. Harris. She passed away doing a motorcycle stunt. By all accounts, she was a very talented driver. They had rehearsed the stunt a lot. There were some rumors that the Deadpool production's moving really fast and maybe the days are a little bit longer than they should be. But all that being said, none of that's confirmed. I've heard rumors both directions.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but it irregardless of all of that, it is still very sad.
Yes.
When someone loses their life on a set, and this kind of happened a lot in the last couple months, it feels like there's been a couple of those. But we wanted to address that real quick and say that, you know, our hearts go out to that, to her family. To the Deadpool family, to the stunt crew there, you know, they lost one of their own, and that can't be easy, and that can't be fun, and I mean, how awful to lose that and then have to go back to work.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, even after a hiatus, even after giving her respect and the set and everything else, it's just like, God, you go back to work, and it's just, oh, that's so sad.
Especially to work on a comedy, like...
Yeah.
Like, now you gotta be goofy and silly. After dealing with that, it's tough.
Something like that, yeah. So,
or even having to do that scene again.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently there were some details that emerged. I believe Deadline reported it. But they said that it was a motorcycle stunt on a Dictate 939 Hyperstrada, and she was only going about 10 miles an hour. She had done the stunt, I think, 6 times already, something like that. And they were like, you know what, let's do like one final take on it. And she missed a ramp, even just going 10 miles an hour, just something happened, missed a ramp, hit the wall, was thrown through glass, and that's where she passed away. So I know that Ryan Reynolds and the Deadpool cast have done their best to honor her. I know that they tweeted out a lot. Zazie Beetz, who is playing Domino, wrote, on Monday, we tragically lost one of our own, Joy S.J. Harris. My heart has been breaking the past 2 days, and I have been searching what to say or do. I know that what I feel is nothing compared to what her loved ones, friends, and family are feeling. My heart and my love goes out to her and them all. The cast and crew send peace, healing, and their deepest condolences. We can only offer the same. That's a devastating thing to happen. So, hearts go out to everyone on the Deadpool set, and send your love and prayers and everything else to that family and that set. So,
yeah.
Anything you guys want to add to it? It's okay if you don't. Just want to make sure before I move on.
It's a tragic event.
Knowing what I have with like stunt performers, you don't become a stunt performer because it's like a fallback job. You do it because you absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I think there is at least some condolence and like some nicety that, you know, she died doing the thing that she's passionate about.
Yeah.
And like working for a project like that.
And a high profile one, like that's great, but
yeah.
Still,
yeah.
That's tough. So, anyway, all right. Ollie, chat saying anything?
Well, I just want to say that I speak for everyone just to really value and don't take for granted the people behind the scenes, the stunt people, because, you know, they're entertaining us. And my condolences for her and her family, because it's just heartbreaking moving on forward.
So. Yeah. Yeah, there she is. So, yeah. Best wishes. Rest in peace. And let's just move on as best as we can from that.
Yeah.
Tough segue, but let's get back into it. Silver and Black. There are some new details on Norman Osborn's role. I should say possible role.
Okay.
He's not confirmed to have any role in the movie. That hashtag show, at least let's see here, Joe Dekelmeyer and Jessica Heidenreich said, maybe I'm saying that wrong. I don't know. Correct me if I'm saying it wrong.
Sounds about right.
But they say he will not appear in the movie, but will have a looming vocal presence. They say at this early stage, his role is just voice only, and that he will be interacting with Oscorp executive Charles Standish, who is said to be a stand-in for the man who would become the Green Goblin. So, okay. I don't know. Now, what's interesting is that the Robot Master, why am I forgetting his name? Oh, my God, I'm on the spot now, and I can't remember.
Robot Master?
It's Strump. Thank you. God, Ollie, coming through. Thank you.
All I could think of was Dr. Octopus. I was Robot Arms. Robot Arms.
He starts off as the Robot Master and then becomes Gaunt later on in, like, the 90s or 2000s or something like that. But he's the one who actually developed the Green Goblin serum and helped Norman Osborn create the glider and all that other stuff. Norman Osborn stole it from him, sent him to prison for embezzlement, and then Strum gets out of prison and immediately wants vengeance on Osborn.
Vengeance.
I kind of like
Robo vengeance.
Yeah. It's not like normal vengeance.
Yeah, it's very different from normal vengeance.
It's robots.
And vengeance. It makes total sense that Norman Osborn would have some semblance of presence with Strum if he's the main bad guy.
Cool.
Yeah. On top of, sorry, let me finish just this one thought, and then I want to hear your butt.
Okay.
Phrasing. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Say your butt. I want to hear your butt now.
I was going to say, but I'm glad that they have a strong Standish with this, because I would not have wanted Osborn as another bad guy. It's kind of like having Loki, where you have him for like the three movies. It's like, you're acting like you don't have anybody else, you know, in the chamber that you can use.
Yeah, there's plenty of other villains.
Thank goodness they have somebody else.
Yeah.
That was the butt.
I just remembered my pre-butt.
Yes.
My pre-butt.
What's your pre-butt?
The pre-butt days.
Pre-butts. Just like pre-butts. Robots.
Oh my God. Well done.
Yes.
Pre-butts. Like robots.
It's my LA drink.
It's making you very quirky. Mm-hmm. Quirky and intelligent.
I'm adorable.
Oh my God. Stop.
Can I throw up in Iron Man real quick?
Yeah. You can also use Hawkeye. Yeah, sure. We've got two others over here. If you're going to spew into this. So they've said that they don't want to have Green Goblin or any other villains that have appeared in previous Spider-Man movies in the upcoming Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. They're like, we've got so many other villains.
Yeah.
Why bring out Dr. Octopus? We've already seen Alfred Molina do it. Why do Green Goblin? We've already seen Willem Dafoe do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this, Silver and Black, is a way to start pulling those characters kind of back in, which I'm kind of like, all right,
I wouldn't mind Sandman back. He was good.
Yeah,
he's
great. Voice only to me means we don't have the budget to hire the person that we want to play Green Goblin. Because if you're gonna have someone as Norman Osborn, you're gonna want it to be, you know, Willem Dafoe was inspired casting. It was
he was so good, amazing, great.
So you're gonna want something like that, and I think they're like, well, we could spend that on something else, or just have a voice.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's a voice.
Yeah, it's a voice. Yeah.
All right, skibbity bopping on. We've got, let me see here. Let me read what this.
New trailer features Doctor Strange with Thor Ragnarok. Okay. Yeah, there's nothing to talk about there.
Yeah.
We can move on.
We can just move on from that, right?
We can move on from that.
I mean, who
that?
Likes Doctor Strange anymore?
Yeah. Doctor Strange.
Weirdos. No, Aunt Anthony, we're kidding. Stay on the trailer.
Stay on the trailer, Aunt Anthony. Oh, yeah. Man, my sarcasm was too good.
It's a bit.
It was a bit. So we've known for a while that Doctor Strange is going to be featured in Thor Ragnarok. We haven't known how or when or where or whatever. Just Doctor Strange is in it. Yay! That's amazing. And like, even more reason to get excited for this movie.
Yeah, and he can refill your beer at any time.
I'm on the Rainbow Road. I need more beer. There it is. An international trailer for Thor Ragnarok finally gave us our very first look at Doctor Strange in Thor Ragnarok. And pretty amazing.
Yeah,
it's like it starts off in the sanctum, and you see him like float up in his cloak of levitation. He's like Thor, and he says, I forgot to write the quotes down here, but he says something to the in line with Destiny has something very interesting in store for you, or something along those lines. Right?
Are we gonna watch it? Or
wait, can we watch it? Do we have time to watch it?
Well, you can just watch the Doctor Strange part.
Yeah. Aunt Anthony, can we just watch the Doctor Strange part? Because everything else is pretty similar.
Just push play.
Yeah. Thor, I sense a great change in your future.
There he is.
Oh. Look at that guy.
With the floatiness.
Destiny has dire plans for you, my friend.
I know that guy.
I have dire plans for Destiny.
Oh, so cool.
Okay, was that it?
Yeah, that's it. We can stop.
At least
Aunt Anthony, we can stop.
At least we can see that Thor has long hair there, so it's
It's
got to be early on.
It's
got to
be
film.
Early on in the film, yeah.
And, or at the end of Doctor Strange.
Oh
perhaps.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here's my guess based purely on what you just said, also its placement in the movie or in the trailer, and the way he's talking to Thor.
Yeah.
None of these events have happened yet, and Doctor Strange, for whatever reason, is warning him of whatever's going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's got to be at the beginning of the film. Like, I dare say the film starts in the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Which is great.
Which is amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like, that would be so amazing. And, like, in fact, if they just, like, dovetailed it with what the end credits scene from Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be, like, if they just started from there, if they started with him, like, all right, let's go. And, like, Doctor Strange disappears, goes and consults, you know, the Orb of Agamotto or whatever else it is that he's got that's going to make me pass out in my seat before the film has even started.
Yeah.
Then he comes back and he's like, Destiny has dire plans for you, my friend. It's like, oh, my God, yes, start the movie.
Yeah, and that would be the first time that Marvel's done something like that. Then in particular, you really want to save for those post-credits scenes.
Yeah, because it might be the start of the next movie.
Yeah.
Jesse.
I always stay for them. Why do people keep spreading these rumors? I'd also like to say that in that trailer, you also see Scourge full on with the machine guns, mowing people down.
Oh,
and,
it's
right from, I forget which Thor it is, but it's right from the panel.
Like,
panel to panel, and it's beautiful.
I believe that the comic that you're talking about is the Walt Simonson run, where that's called Ragnarok. In fact, it might even be Ragnarok and Roll, late 80s-ish, where he, so like Scourge the Executioner has always been a, by the way, possible spoilers for this movie.
We don't know.
This
is what happens in the comic book, which, by the way, is a Thor classic. It's one of the top five Thor stories ever done in the comics, so go read it. Go do your homework and go read that. But it's Walt Simonson. It's a classic. But in that, Scourge the Executioner has always been with the Enchantress. He's always been a bad guy against Asgard. But very similar to Loki, his loyalty is still to Asgard. Like, I want to run Asgard. I feel he's a revolutionary for a city and a realm that he loves.
Yeah.
So
when
it comes under threat and, you know, everyone's back is against the wall, he's let's go. Yeah. Like, I hate the people in charge, but I don't want to see the city fall. And it's one of the most iconic moments in a Thor comic is Executioner, two machine guns on the Rainbow Road protecting Asgard.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's got a bunch of people with swords and spears charging him, and he's just got machine guns.
Yeah.
It's the coolest thing.
It's really freaking rad.
Although something that we learned from Defenders, bringing a gun to a knife fight doesn't necessarily mean that you win.
That's true.
Doesn't help. Well, I'm not going to say...
Skibbity-doop.
I'm not gonna give any more spoilers from that. But yeah, that is very exciting, and I do think that we start there, and then maybe it ends up being kind of bookended, and we go back to Doctor Strange at the end, for him to fight Surtur. Which, oh my god, I want to see.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Doctor Strange vs. Surtur. all right, let's skeevity bop beep boo to Infinity War. So, speaking of Doctor Strange, Tom Von Lawler, actor I've never heard of, but he apparently has a big stage presence in Britain.
Okay.
In the UK.
Okay.
He's in Peaky Blinders and Love and Hate.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for doing that research for me.
Of course.
Ollie,
of course.
I'm terrible.
IMDb is my best friend.
IMDb Ollie over here. He is playing the Ebony Maw in Infinity War.
He looks like Ebony Maw.
Dude. Yes. Oh, dude, right?
I don't think he had to audition.
Yes. No.
They were like, we need an Ebony Maw. Oh, my God, there he is.
I am. Be like, hey, I watched Peaky Blinders. I found him.
I found him
before you needed him.
He didn't need a headshot. He just sent his Facebook profile picture.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that dude's going to kill it as... Oh, my God, look at that.
Yes.
I mean, it's obviously all
because
motion capture.
Because of his
capture,
bald head and his nose were like, yes.
Yeah, but he's got... Like, he looks a little conniving. Aunt Anthony, go back to Lawler. He could be a conniving guy.
Yeah.
He could be, like, manipulative.
Because of the baldness in the nose.
No, it's in the eyes.
Just,
look at his eyes.
It's just an instinctual
like a
thing.
Deep, there's, like, a deep sort
he's,
of, like, size
he's gonna
to his
have
eyes.
Fun with
like,
it.
Like, honestly, gonna, oh God, slap yeah. some blue paint on him and you got Ebony Maw. Like, that's
yeah.
it. Like,
yeah. It's incredible. I'm excited for it.
Can I do the quip?
Please do.
All right. Let's see how this goes. You sign some in documents and waivers. And people ask you about it, and you have to give the generic and boring. Can't say too much about it. But I am doing it. It's really amazing, and it's an amazing thing to be a part of.
This is good.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
And then he has a drum.
You took me right back to Manchester, Ireland. what Marquia was quoting there was Tom Von Lawler speaking with RTE Radio 1's radio station, talking about the fact that he's casting this. He's apparently, a few of his like associates have known he's been casting it, but they didn't know who. He has now finally released, oh, I am indeed the Ebony Maw.
Mm-hmm.
And some quick background on who Ebony Maw is, just for those of you who may not know. He is one of the children of Thanos, is what they're calling them in the Avengers: Infinity War.
The Black mm-hmm. Order.
The Black Order. The Cull Obsidian.
He's a trauma survivor.
he's up there with Gamora and Nebula as a trauma survivor, but he is not. I mean, he can fight and he's strong and like in a sort of like extraterrestrial sense, but his biggest power is that he is hyper intelligent and. He actually doesn't have a superpower, but he can twist his words around your mind in such a conniving, manipulative, persuasive way. He can make you do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So he's like Purple Man, except without a superpower. He can be like, Marquia,
without the pheromones.
You want to get rid of your incredible hair. No, I don't. Here's reasons you want to get rid of your incredible hair. Let me give you all these reasons. You're right, I need to get rid of this incredible hair.
I'm already shaving it off.
He is a super villain.
He is a super villain. I say speaking of Doctor Strange because in Jonathan Hickman's Infinity event from I think 2014, I believe.
Time flies.
Dude, right? God, it seems like it was only yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the Infinity event, as Thanos is invading the Earth while the rest of the Avengers are trying to defeat this whole other thing and are away from it, Ebony Maw is sent directly to Doctor Strange to subdue him so that Doctor Strange is not attacking Thanos all on his own. Right. So he
rides Doctor Strange like the monkey on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is
the
bad.
The grill on your back.
It's real, real bad. He's a bad guy. All right, so let's jump over to the Netflix stuff.
Okay.
We are
Netflix?
Moving and shaking. We're moving to Netflix. Did I miss something?
Medusa, Black Bolt are the real villains.
Oh, nah, I don't want to do it.
All right, cool.
Yeah, we're good. We
skibbity.
Don't need to skibbity, 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 bop. Yes, we are going to talk about Defenders. Everyone just calm down. Ollie is the chat really upset with us that we're not talking about Defenders yet.
They're ready.
They're ready?
Okay,
all right.
We're speeding through. We're so close to it.
We're so close.
Yeah.
New Punisher teaser. Come on. You guys don't want to talk about that? Come on.
Yes. Because you gotta look at the post-credit scene of the last episode of Defenders and Punisher Dragon.
Ba-doo. Aunt Manthony, can we go ahead and watch that, sir? Oh, yeah.
Netflix.
Yeah, that's Netflix. Yeah. And, did you do it? Now we got some asphalt pavement. We got a
Like, oh,
we got John Wick
who's
here.
Who's this man working?
I think it's John Wick. It's John. God, like, he's just his hard, grunt. He's his, oh, God, I love that scene. Like, it's so fast and, like, so accurate. Brutal.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite parts of season two.
Oh, he's the best. He was the absolute best. Like, the whole Electro storyline was alright.
Kill everyone, yeah. Punisher.
Yeah. Punisher, kill the Marvel Universe. Mm. Yeah, go get him.
He's coming.
Oh, he's coming. Oof. Man.
And not even the pavement is safe.
Yeah. He's coming. Pavement better watch out. I do love that he uses sledgehammer just to pound a Punisher skull into the crack. Like,
well, you know that's got to be like a crime scene. I have to leave my mark.
He's out of breath, drinking Gatorade. Like, that was a lot more work than it needed to be.
Yeah, I got to replace these electrolytes.
He was the one white doing spray all those paint. Earthquakes. And
it was him. It wasn't the dragon. Makes no sense. All right, let's talk real quick. Thoughts. And I mean, they don't really show anything. It's more of a tone thing of, oh, he's coming. You guys better watch. Like, they don't even give us a date. Like, we still don't even know. Yeah. Like,
no, you see, like, some stuff that's happening with the family. You see that family photo and the glass popping out. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This family drama.
I'd love to get some Marvel Mafia stuff going on. Like, the Magia, Tombstone, Hammerhead.
So
like,
fun, man.
All of those guys. Because, like, that's such a great well that they haven't tapped yet.
They really haven't. Like, and it's kind of circled Kingpin. That and that's...
Yeah, and...
You know, the owl, but that's kind of it.
And that's it. And it would be great to get some of those fun Marvel Mafia characters in there.
Yeah.
I also read a thing, it was like in a writer's group or something like that, where they were talking about this script for it. And at least at one point, it was just going to be vignettes where the main characters were going to be the people that the Punisher is killing. And like them... Like trying to like hide and stuff.
Oh
like
my
that.
God!
Wow. And then
the Punisher he's almost the antagonist.
Is the basically I like that. The antagonist, like the monster coming in, and like you see it from their point of view.
Oh
and
my then God! That would be amazing.
You kind of felt that with Grotto in season two, Daredevil. Where it's like when you know, and he went to get represented. It's like, oh yeah, they represent good guys. Wait, is he a good guy? He's trying to do good.
He's trying to.
Oh no!
Yeah. Oh no!
Well, I guess he had it coming.
Yeah. dude, that's awesome. I hadn't heard that, but I hope that, like, at least, like, one episode. Like, maybe not the entire series, but, like, if they just do one episode like that, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be really fun.
You're absolutely right. That would be so cool to see, like even if they, like, found a way to bring in Silver... Like, they can't do Silverman, because that probably belongs to Spider-Man, but, like...
Yeah. But Tombstone, Hammerhead. Yeah, like, those guys would be really fun to have. And, like, if they hold off on superpowers until, like... Maybe the last two episodes where
dude,
like
what if they bring in Bullseye?
Oh, Bullseye would be oh my goodness.
They could.
Oh, that would be so cool.
I mean
God, that would be like what could, a way to like they, fight the Punisher, like, right?
Yeah.
But could they put Elektra in that at all somewhere if they
we don't even know if Elektra's still alive.
Oh please. Yeah. You cannot kill her. She's Elektra's like the cockroach of comics.
She's already died once.
Yeah,
twice it's maybe? Like, maybe three times? Maybe three,
she's just saying, you know.
Yeah.
Props to Young, because she's gonna be around forever.
Yeah,
she's fantastic.
Yeah, she's great. We also have our first look at Punisher in costume here, which is cool. So
looks frightening.
Oh, you know what? I did want to say this real quick. It did look like they have elements of like Bourne, but updated because you see him. It looks like he's maybe like in like the Gulf, like fighting over like Afghanistan or sort of like Iran, Iraq area. And he's in that medical tent. And it looks like he's fighting dudes there. And it's like, oh, like, of course we're going to get flashbacks to his time in the military. Cause I think they have to have
kinda
that to establish that, like who is the villains are.
Yeah.
But, I do wonder if they're going to pull from Bourne, which is an excellent series.
I'd love if we'd get some, how much he idolizes Captain America. In there.
just
for character development. Like he knows he's a monster and wishes he was as good as Cap.
Or like wishes that he could take like Cap's approach. Like, I wish that I could just subdue dudes with a vibranium shield. All I know are how to shoot them.
Yeah.
And
put them under.
But this is how I was trained. This is how I learned.
Before we move on, anything in the chat?
Okay, question. Blade,
okay, Ollie.
Blade, Ghost Rider, or Moon Knight? Who do you want to see for next original?
It's a difficult choice between Blade and Moon Knight for me. Just because Blade, they could really do it really well right now, you know?
Yeah, they really could.
That would work so well.
Moon Knight is my favorite hero in the Marvel Universe. I've written so many treatments for no one, just for myself.
For Mark Spector.
For Mark Spector. I would love to see Moon Knight, especially the most recent run kind of version where it is this kind of defender of travelers in the night would be really cool to see.
Yeah.
The only real reason I would say no with Moon Knight is just the outfit. You know, how would they really swing that?
No, but if they had, like, the white suit, like the Warren Ellis, like, just the white suit with the hood bag, and the moon on it. Oh, so cool. So cool. I would love that.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
My answer would also be Moon Knight. Like, I love Blade. I do think that there could be some really cool stuff.
There could be some really cool. And there were
rumors. There were rumors a while back they were going to have like a Blade's daughter thing.
Yeah.
That Wesley Snipes was in talks with Marvel to do something. So it's entirely possible that they're bringing him back. I cannot imagine Netflix not doing like a Midnight Sun, Siege of Darkness sort of run. Which
Midnight Suns would be so cool.
I would like smash my head against the wall. I would. I would just like run into wall after wall.
The one down point with Blade is that I think everybody's pretty okay with the whole vampire thing right now, so I think we've moved on collectively from it.
You know what would be interesting is if they did werewolves with Moon Knight, because that's where he was first introduced.
Yeah, that's true.
Werewolf by Night.
If you ever watch AfterBuzz Shield, me and Zach Wilson have a running thing where
Doom. You're talking about Doom, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry, Doom.
Doom, sorry. Thank you.
Me and the voice of Doom have a running thing where we really want there to be like we were talking about it with Ghost Rider, like if they were going to do a Midnight Suns, have it be like an investigation thing where it's like Son of Satan and Brother Voodoo in New Orleans, like solving Marvel magic mysteries. Yeah,
Brother Voodoo,
That's the Darkhold Redeemers. Like we're just talking Darkhold Redeemers,
basically,
which is one of my favorites of all time. All right,
okay. Time check. We have exactly 20 minutes left.
Yeah, we got to jump to Daredevil. Skibidi boo ba boo. Season 3 is going to start filming in October. Great, but there is something really cool. And by the way, we're getting into like super spoiler territory. Toitles. I like turtles. We're getting into like super duper spoiler territory now. So if you don't want to know anything that happened in Defenders, you haven't finished it, whatever else, pause our video here. Go back, finish watching it, come back to our video later, and come back to the 32-minute mark, because that's about where we're at right now. So, but we're just from here on out, assume spoilers, like red lights, spoilers.
Yeah, do our best, but yes.
We'll do our best, but what we're about to talk about is very much a huge spoiler. This is a kind of a massive one.
Okay.
At the end of Defenders, Matt Murdock dies.
Yep.
Well,
Daredevil dies.
Well.
You see Foggy Nelson dealing with it, and Karen Page is so sad, and everyone's like, oh, we're so sorry for your loss. But wait. Cuts to a convent, a hospital and a convent. There's a nun, nurse, sitting on the bed, at the edge of the bed, with none other than a tremendously beaten to hell bandaged Matt Murdock. And he's just like, where am I? And that's the end of Defenders. All right,
Where she goes, get Maggie.
Yeah.
He's awake, get Maggie.
Yeah, all right, so here's the primer on that. Maggie is Matt Murdock's mother.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Sister Maggie, who I don't know if he knows she's still alive.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't think he knows.
It depends with the series.
It depends on the series, but in the comics, I don't think he knew. I don't think he knew for a while. I don't think he knew until Original Sin, actually, when it came out. What was that? Again, 2014? Geez.
Yeah, I think that was
the Jason Aaron run?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew about her before then, yeah.
Not 100% sure of that, but I thought there was like this whole flashback thing with him as a kid touching the golden cross and everything. But I'm pretty certain of that.
I know that he knew about this lady Maggie, but I don't know that he knew she was his mother.
Okay.
But I could be very wrong. I haven't read that comic in like 10
years.
There's
a lot of comics.
I don't remember. Yeah. There's so many Daredevil comics.
I know that she, it was like because of postnatal or something. That's why she wasn't part of their lives.
Like postpartum depression or something like that.
Yeah.
Kind of went a little off the deep end and joined a convent.
Regardless, Daredevil alive. DD alive. He's with his mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Daredevil's alive. His dad, Battling Jack, is dead, but his mother is alive. And now, yeah, he's 100% confirmed dead. And now his mother is taking care of him.
Yeah, and his mom does not have any powers.
No, she does not. Except for like the power of her faith.
Yeah. The love of God.
And the love of Christ, which is great. Yeah. So we say all of that because no, we're not moving on just yet, Aunt Anthony. giving an interview with Hollywood Reporter, Charlie Cox said, "There may be elements from Born Again, but I'm sure there will be elements that are unfamiliar and surprising and different in order for the show to be compelling to fans who know the comics very well." So here's Frank Miller, one of the most iconic Daredevil stories ever. Maybe the iconic story.
That's what I think of when I think
Frank
Daredevil.
Miller's, I think, 84, 85, his run on Daredevil called Born Again, where...
I think it was
86. Is that 86?
It's like mid-80s,
yeah. We'll go with you. 86. Okay. Let's say 86.
Okay.
Let's just say mid-80s and be done with it.
Yes.
I said 86, Jesse. So,
Google it, Ollie. Google
IMDb it, Ollie.
Rainbow Wheel of Death.
Born Again arc.
Born
Again.
So,
Kingpin, Daredevil.
So what happens is Karen Page sells... this information for a hit of crack.
Yeah, she's, Karen Page
addicted
is
to
like,
heroin.
Yeah, she's like in Mexico. Things have not gone well for her. She's a prostitute
and a porn actress. I believe. Yeah. It's not going well for Karen Page.
No, it's
very Frank Miller.
It's
so Frank Miller. It's tremendously dark. Yeah. Sells the information that Daredevil is Matt Murdock to a criminal so she can get one last hit of heroin. Mm-hmm. This criminal then sells it for 1,000 times the markup to Kingpin. Kingpin is like, Matt Murdock, the attorney who's taken me on in court 1,000 times? Screw this guy. And he wrecks his life. But he does it in a subtle way. IRS freezes his accounts.
Yeah.
He gets evicted from his apartment. Mm-hmm. He gets disbarred. He gets framed for perjury. Like, Kingpin takes him apart. He becomes paranoid.
Yeah. And demolishes,
burns down his home,
and then leaves a Daredevil outfit in the ashes for him to find.
Just like, screw you, Murdock. Someone screw you.
Yeah.
So then Murdock, and then he attacks Kingpin, and Kingpin kills him, but he's not dead. He just thinks he's dead. They push a car into the lake.
Mm-hmm.
He's still alive. He comes back. That's where he goes to the convent and meets Maggie for the first time. Again, maybe it's his mom, maybe it's not. I don't know if he knew that then. That's all I'm saying. But he meets her and then has to rebuild his life from there.
Yeah.
So that's why Born Again is. I think they're going to use Born Again to start the series, but then they're going to go into the Bendis Malieve run, Daredevil Volume 2, which started I think around like 15 or 16 or something like that for Bendis, and that is Daredevil's true identity of Matt Murdock is now out in the open and in the public, and he's trying to pull it back and be like, no, I'm not.
I 13 minutes left.
Yeah, I know.
I'd
we got to move on. All right.
Typhoid Mary.
Dude, I know, right? All right. Jessica Jones, we're not going to talk about. Kristen Ritter's facing some problems. That's a problem. All right. We're not going to, but we can't talk about that.
Teasing Kilgrave.
Teasing Kilgrave.
Which,
you know, he's got to come back. It's probably flashbacks. Yeah. Whatever. I mean, we're excited about it, but we just don't have time to talk about because we need to get the Defenders. All right. Go. What'd you guys like? I could ask a lot of questions, but what are your opinions?
All right. Well,
Defenders.
I did a whole thing for Screen Junkies with Joe Starr for like Defenders. We thought we had kept it down like super. We're like, oh yeah, it'd be 10 minutes, and it was like half an hour of us talking about it.
I just wish that I liked Joe Starr. That's the biggest problem. I'm just kidding, Joe Starr. He's one of my favorite people.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the way that they took how each episode, well, not each episode, each show's like just flavor and then intertwined it. Mm-hmm. So that's why episode 4 was one of my favorites. Royal Dragon. That's when they all come together in Royal
the bottle
Dragon.
Episode.
It was a bit of a bottle episode,
Yeah, and then it's like it's very character driven. And oh my God, I love me some Jessica Jones and the Defenders.
She's so great.
She was just like, she peppered in nicely. I could have used more than her.
Yeah.
Because the only thing with Defenders is that I very much felt that it was a Daredevil Iron Fist story that Luke Cage and Jessica Jones were a part of.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to it being something with all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like Iron Fist Season 2 a little bit.
Mm.
I think it was very successful as far as like the concept. They got all 4 characters in there. They all fit together decently well. All the fight choreography was really fun, really exciting. I'm still not sure what the hand's plan was.
Yep.
I still don't know what... I know there was the skeleton... And they needed the more goo to make resurrection, but also to get into Kunlun. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't sure. And my other big thing is in Daredevil Season 2, they kill a Black Sky. Why didn't they just resurrect that Black Sky instead of finding Elektra?
Yeah.
Because Stick kills a Black Sky with a bow and arrow in Daredevil Season 2. And I'm not sure. Or is it 1? I'm not sure. But
Season. Oh, yeah, actually.
I think it might be Season 1.
Yeah, because we see Stick Season 1, Episode 7. So that makes sense for him to have done it then.
Yeah.
You've done your research.
Oh, yeah.
But so I don't know why they didn't resurrect that Black Sky instead of finding Elektra. It's other than that, though, I mean, it was all great. I give it an A.
Yeah.
But I just, like, the main antagonistic force, I'm not understanding it still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ollie, were you able to finish it?
Yeah, definitely. Of course.
Oh my God. I assume so.
I can totally agree with the chat when they felt like Sigourney Weaver's character, Alexandra, didn't really pay off because, you know, I was expecting her to be the big bad, whereas it turned out to be Elektra, a.k.a. the Black Sky. So that was I was a little disappointed with that because it's Sigourney freaking Weaver.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the little tidbits here and there with Jessica. She's definitely my favorite defender. And I thought she was going to fly at one point when she, I was like, did she fly? But.
Because she can fly.
She can fly in the comics. Yeah. So I was like, waiting. Yes, season 2?
Just let her fly.
So I was hoping that she's, like, building up more, but I don't know. We'll see for season 2.
All right. So here's my opinion is I enjoyed it. I liked it, but I was not satisfied by it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like the ending and stuff?
Like the ending. Because like for me, I was like I came into this like wanting who is Sigourney Weaver's character? Yeah. Alexander.
Whatever,
who is,
it be Mephisto. Who
is that? Like what? Is it Mephisto or the something Beast of the huge. Hand? Or are you trying to summon the Beast of the Hand into you to be a super? Like what are you doing? Like she's one of the five immortal members of
Five
the hand.
Fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like that's cool. I guess.
I mean,
Sawande like,
was cool.
Sawande yeah,
was like awesome. That, some Sawande.
Yeah, that dude was
Sawande show.
Yeah. Dude, right? Yeah. He was great. Right? And then they're like, "Let's kill him!" I'm like, no, don't kill him. Kill the dude who's trying calling Wing. I don't care about that guy. Get the Bakuda out of there. Get that guy out of there. He's kind of. I don't like that guy. Kill that guy. Keep this guy. This guy's awesome.
I will say this: Finn Jones sticks out. As far as acting goes, like I think they give him some bad lines.
Yeah.
They comment on it later, but like just him going like, "I'm the immortal Iron Fist," like over and over again. It's just not. It's not doing him any favors.
Yeah.
And I think they realized that, and that's why they separated him from the cast in the final episodes.
Maybe. That's actually an interesting
because the show really picks up when he's not there. Like, it really does pick up. And it's like, yeah, Colleen Wing's participating, and she's awesome.
Yeah.
And it felt like that. I also kind of thought it was going to end with Daredevil being the leader of the Hand, which happens in the comic books.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought it would be a really interesting kind of, like, end teaser where if Daredevil Season 3 starts with him.
Shadowland or something.
Dude, that's what I wanted. Yes. Yes. That's what I wanted. Yes. Like, this whole time, they were like... There's a giant hole in the middle of New York City, and it's Midland Circle. Like, what? Oh, my God. What is this? So Sigourney Weaver is Alexandra, and she's the leader of the Hand, and there's a dragon?
And
yes, and what happened to Kunlun? Like,
I was
hoping the dragon was Fing Fang Foom.
Dude, that would be amazing. I think that belongs to Fox, but that would be amazing.
What was going on that the Hand has been, they've had, like, what, millennia to plan for this, and then it all falls apart when the Defenders get on the screen? I mean... Yeah. When I plan my vacations, I plan for every possibility, and that's just my vacation for a weekend.
Wall in front of the dragon. What's behind the dragon? These are Marquis's vacations.
here are the questions that the show left me with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was the Hand doing? Like, what was their actual plan? Like, I think we've all kind of hit it around that, but the question for me is, what were their actual motives? It's very wishy-washy because mixed in with that is Black Sky, what her role is. Why did Alexandra want... Like, who is the Black Sky? What's the role of the Black Sky? There was a prophecy about the Black Sky. Was the Black Sky's purpose to kill Alexandra and take over? Like, I don't understand any of that.
I have a theory.
I desperately want to hear it because I legitimately enjoyed Defenders a lot. I really, really did. But it just left me with so unsatisfied with so many of these questions.
Yeah, I think the end game was that they needed the dragon bone marrow, right? Because that was the thing that they were going for. They needed the substance to stay alive. Their whole thing is stay alive. Alexandra's whole thing was like, oh my God, I don't want to see the abyss that is death, you know, must stay alive. So they're searching the world, you know, it's established that there's dragon mythology, you know, and, you know, they find a dragon in New York. So I'm thinking that they were doing what they have done with other cities, which is find the dragon, get the dragon. The dragon's actually holding up the city. The city crumbles. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So part of the plan was get this particular dragon, you know, refresh our substance so that we can continue working on our main end game, which is to get back into Kunlun. I'm always going to pronounce that wrong.
That's
to get back into Kunlun.
I believe it's pronounced Quinoa.
To where all of the dragons are. Mm-hmm. And then we have an unlimited substance.
And then live forever?
Okay. Yeah.
Or do they live? Do you just, are you an immortal if you're living in Kunlun? Unless you're like murdered or something like that. But like do you just have like an unnaturally long lifespan?
You
just
live there? Yeah.
They definitely do in the comic books.
Have,
right?
Yeah.
There we go.
So maybe they want to live forever, but they got exiled from Kunlun.
Yeah.
And Kunlun. Now they're like Kunlun.
Kunlun.
But they're immortal, but it's not, they don't have resurrection. Like, that was the whole thing where it was like, these five were exiled because they used bad chi.
Yeah.
But it's not chi, it's dragon marrow. So that's not chi.
Yeah.
That's marrow. I think probably what happened is Marvel and Netflix were like, we need a big name for this show. This is our big flagship show. We get Sigourney Weaver. There are going to be a lot of people who this is going to be their first Marvel Netflix show because Sigourney Weaver is a big name and we like her. Let's do some rewrites and make her part different than what it was before.
Possibly.
Because I think with the Black Sky and like the mother aspect over Elektra and kind of all of that kind of stuff felt like rewrites to me, where it was like, oh, we got Sigourney Weaver. We got to keep, like, so we got to give her something big like this for it. And I think that's why it was a little muddy.
That's entirely possible. And you know what? What really kind of sucks about the whole thing is that Sigourney Weaver killed what she had.
Oh,
like,
she was,
that very first episode where she has that whole speech about, it's just a city. You get used to watch it. Like, that is, like, she's just chewing on those lines in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. It's just that then they kind of, like, muddied up the actual structure and arc of her character. And it's like, well, where is she actually go? Like, I'm this is a bone, not with Sigourney, but with the writers and the showrunners, where I'm like, I don't actually understand where you're going with this. Like, what's their actual motivation? Yeah. And I think you cleared it up more than the Netflix show ever did, at least as a possibility of
to keep on going. You know, ultimate goal, Kunlun.
Yeah.
Kunlun?
Kunlun.
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 Kunlun. Kunlun.
Kun.
Mjolnir. No,
I can say Mjolnir now.
You've got it.
I've got Mjolnir.
Speaking of Kunlun, where's Kunlun? Like, kind of explained that away as, like, you didn't see it because you didn't want to.
Right.
No, what?
Like,
he's not using the secret correctly?
You know,
like, what does that even mean?
It's not a kaleidoscope where you just have to twist it around one more time.
Yeah, like, what?
Yeah,
he desperately wants to see it. What are you talking about?
Iron Fist was ended with him there. Like, he was right at Kunlun, and it's like, we never got an explanation for what happened. He's now hunting the hand very poorly with Colleen Wing. Like, we didn't really get an explanation for what was going on there. I would love to see, I'd love to see Kunlun. I'd love to see the Thunder again. I'd love an immortal weapons. I thought going to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what it should be.
I thought going to it, what it was going to be is that the Iron Fist opens up the gates to the heavens. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be like Iron Fist season 2 would be about him trying to close all the gates and like maybe a tournament or something like that, which I would have loved. Like,
yes,
an entire season of a martial arts tournament is just porn to me. Please,
that'd be great.
Just give me
Netflix.
That. Yeah,
Netflix, give us the job next season. Please make us the architects.
Because imagine that if they'd opened the wall or opened the door, and then like the first thing that you see are Crane Mothers, like, you know, Mother's warriors, like, come in. She's and Madame
like
Gauzer,
the
and they're
of like,
they're like, hello, like, hello, Crane Mother, whatever you like. Yes, you are. Madame Gauzer, like, woo,
what's up, Crane Mother?
Throws off her old woman clothes and is like wearing the Crane Mother.
What's up? Why is
it
so cool?
It's like, it's time.
Dog Brothers there.
Fat Cobra. Oh my god. So by the way, what we're talking about is Matt Fraction's run, Immortal Iron Fist.
Yes.
It is a seminal Iron Fist read if you're looking for good Iron Fist
and
material.
It's beautiful.
It's beautifully drawn. Yeah. I can't remember who the artist is, but it's very well done.
1 minute.
Yeah. Oh, we, We got 2 minutes.
Well, I was saying because we have some shout outs.
Yeah, okay, get to the shout outs real quick.
Okay, shout outs. Michael White at FetKane32, Big Tasty at Big Tasty Garrett, Christina Farrow at Kinetic Fox, Victor Torres at VR Torres 2. Oh, yeah, from Torres. Michael Shane Harris at Kush Skywalker 7, AJ Farinat at Cad Bane 1996, Glorious Greg at XG Hilly 929, Michael Beltrain at Mickey Bell.
Hi, Victor Torres!
Yes. So fun stuff from TJ Dex at TJ Dex. Nick Fury is that friend who introduces two other friends and then they become best friends and leave him out.
Aww. And think about it. Oh, that's so sad.
Behind this eye patch are tears.
And then Captain Crones at Watch the Crones. Rewatched Civil War today and realized how much I hate Captain talks about. How much I hate Captain talks about people having agendas, literally fights Iron Man over his own personal agenda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
And then
Captain
we have a birthday shout out. Dylan Davidson at Dylan _ SD1. Today is my 25th birthday. Can I get a marvelous birthday shout out?
Marvelous birthday shout out.
Yes, you are marvelous, my man.
Marvelous.
Happy
25, sir.
Marvelous, man.
Marvelous. You know what? Go out there and rent a car. You deserve it.
Yes.
Go rent that car, sir. Yeah.
Your insurance now goes down. Yeah. Okay, so quick question.
We have time for one quick question, then we got to sign
question.
Out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, desires aside, was the Misty moment heroic enough or kind of clunky? This is from TLE at eFixed on Flix. He's talking about Defenders Misty loses the arm. Was it heroic enough or kind of clunky?
A little bit of both.
I would have preferred the scenario that, you know, when everybody was in the precinct and it was everybody supporting characters in one. I would have preferred a scenario close to the comics where it would have been some sort of bomb that was in the precinct with Misty, then trying to defuse that bomb, getting everybody clear, not getting herself clear, and getting the arm blown off in it. I would have preferred that.
I would have preferred that too. Little bit more heroic.
I thought for sure there was going to be a thing where, like, the secondary characters get attacked by the Hand at the precinct.
Why didn't they do that?
Yeah.
Like, that's so weird that they didn't make that choice.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I think it was a little bit of both. It was heroic because she jumped in to save.
Yeah,
she saved Claire Temple's life.
But
yeah.
It was like the choreography was a bit like, oh, well, now she's lost her arm and now his.
Why
head
wouldn't
is off.
She
cool.
shoot
okay.
him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got.
She had a gun. Why wouldn't she shoot him?
Not instant.
She had a gun.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so
anyway,
you guys aren't writing the show. That's why.
Yep. Marvel, Netflix, Jeff Loeb.
If it gets Metal Arm Misty, I'm happy.
Ultimately, and like the fact that like they're in the hospital, and she's like, "Well, Danny Rand owns the hospital." It's like, well, you know, she's getting cybernetic.
Yeah, she's got it.
And so then we're gonna get Daughters of the Dragon, and they're gonna save.
I would love Daughters of the Dragon.
And instead of Tony Stark, is going to be Danny Rand, that is her bionic benefactor.
And then they fall in love.
The way it should be.
I would not fall in love with this Danny
Rand. No, I wouldn't either.
He has to change, or they have to recast that or something for season 2.
I would love to see Misty Knight kick his ass with the cybernetic arm.
I joked about it on Twitter, but I'm actually really serious. Danny Rand, as he is right now, he's that guy in college that you want to forget you ever dated.
Yeah.
That guy.
He's the dude who walks around with a guitar.
Yeah, he's not a bad guy, but he's that guy.
Have you ever heard Wonderwall?
Let me play you Wonderwall.
Did I ever tell you your body is a wonderland?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm the Immortal Iron Fist. Do you know Wonderwall?
I'm the Immortal Iron Fist and a traveling troubadour. Let me play you some songs.
Is that a cell phone? I don't have one of those.
oh, you're the worst.
He says that season 1.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
But then he gets one now. Yeah.
We have to sign out. I'm sorry. Yes. Ollie, anything from the chat that we need to address super fast? Do they hate us for kind of bagging on Defenders a little bit?
They kind of agree with you, but I think the birthday shout-out should have been sexy.
Said marvelous.
He said marvelous,
he
not
said
sexy.
Marvelous.
I wanted a sexy one, but it's okay.
But it's your birthday, Ollie.
But, you know, you're right. I should get a sexy birthday shout-out since it's this Sunday.
I
want it from all of you in the chat room.
We'll plan it for next week.
No, he's not going to be here.
I won't be here. Coy won't be here. That's right, because I'm going to be at Burning Man next week. If you're at Burning Man, come find us. I'm over on like 4:45. Coy and I will both be out there. So
sexy birthday shout out from all three.
Yeah, Coy was in the chat real quick, and he just wanted to say hi to you guys.
Oh, screw that guy. Whatever.
Go say hi to Stan Lee, Coy.
So do you want to give me like a porn track real quick?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Makia. Oh, yeah. It's your birthday this Sunday.
Ollie, join him.
Oh, it is.
And I hope you have the sexiest of birthdays.
Girl, what you wearing?
Happy birthday.
Anthony! Nice! Alright.
I hope your presents aren't what you need, but what you deserve.
Ooh. Or desire.
Ooh. Or both.
Deserve desire.
We aren't solid on this one.
We're very sexy, man. Alright, we've legit got to sign off. Ollie, where can we find you? Say goodbye.
Me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer and at Palm Springs Comic Con this weekend. Hope to see you guys there.
Sweet.
Jesse, thank you for joining us. Where can we find you? Where do you do shows?
I do shows at AfterBuzz. I do the Marvel shows at AfterBuzz. I'll also be this Sunday, Black Hollywood Live. I'll be doing more Defenders stuff there. We're watching and talking about it. I watched ahead for this show. I'm bad. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. And I do Haymaker Comedy at the Pack Theater here in LA if you want to check us out.
Nice. Sweet. Markia.
Yes, you can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at Markia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMccarty. I just did a thing for Screen Junkies where I found Defenders Easter eggs and also did that with Joe Starr. Yeah. That and a review. So please check my Twitter out for that. And I'm going to be doing a new show with AfterBuzz TV. It's the Mae Young Classic. It is wrestling. And that is going to start August 30th at 7 p.m. So join us because that is going to be a hell of a show.
My name is Matt Key at the Matt Key. You can find me on Geek and Sundry's Twitch channel on Wednesday nights doing the Wednesday Club, talking about comics. Tomorrow night we're talking about science comics, like just STEM in general. It's gonna be great. At the Matt Key, and we'll see. Well, you won't see me for 2 weeks. You won't see Koi for 2 weeks.
Marquee you will
is taking
see
over.
Me for that entire time. Prepare for a hell of a show.
But when we come back, it'll be time to talk about Inhumans. And listen on that note. Goodbye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.